Hey everybody, welcome back to Church Online. I'm so glad you made it. Welcome, 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 welcome. God has something great in store for you as we dig into the authority of His Word today. And I think that as you listen, I'm believing that God's going to meet you right where you are. He's going to speak right into your situation and that things are going to change as you apply your faith to the authority of God's Word. I have a couple of passages I want you to turn to if you're an old school Bible person like me. Matthew chapter 9 is where we're going to get started. We're going to move from there over to Matthew chapter 26. So if you're new to the Bible, grab your Bible app, open up to Matthew 9. If you're using an old Bible like mine with actual paper, I know this is a weird thing for some people, go to the middle of the Bible and take a right, and it won't be too long until you find yourself right there in Matthew chapter 9. I want to thank each of you for being a huge blessing to us. Just you watching this means the world to me. If you like what you hear today, would you do me a favor and click the like button, comment, let us know your story, let us know where you're watching from today. We love to just to see where the message is going. And then if you really enjoy it, if you think it will help your people, then would you do us a favor and hit the share button? Go ahead and share it with your social media influence and use your influence to bring the light of the gospel to people that you know that need it and share it in your world. That's an important faith step, and that would mean the world to us. Thank you also for your generosity. Those of you that are supporting us, I am blown away by your financial support and by the way that you've stood behind what we're doing here, and you believe in us, and we are so grateful. I don't take that lightly. It means the world to me that you would choose to support us. And in a time where we see so many churches that are still not able to open, people that are not able to gather, believers that are not able to just combine their faith together with one another, it means the world that you were able to join us here online and that we're able to just kind of be your surrogate family for a little while. I want to remind you also that if we are not your home church, please don't send your tithes and offerings here. Those goes to your home church, and many churches right now are on life support, financially speaking. That is not the case for us. We are more than blessed. God has blessed us tremendously through the generosity of our supporters and our tithers. So if this is not your home church, please don't send your tithe here. But if the Lord is feeding you here and we are your home church, even if we're online only for you, we want to just thank you for your support. That means a lot to us. So let's dive into God's word today. I want to give you a message I feel like the Lord is speaking to me, called How to Seize a Divine Opportunity. I want to talk about that divine opportunity thing. And this is something that I wish was taught to me. I've had to kind of figure this out on my own by following after the Lord for a couple of decades now. But I wish someone had taught me this from the very beginning. Hopefully this will be a blessing to you. We're going to continue on with our God in the Box series and things that we believe in, the things that we do that we may not understand why we've really limited God with our own immaturity, our own understanding, and our inability to actually step out in faith. And so I want to talk about the simple things that we can do that really allow God to be the best of who He is, and the things that He's counting on us to do that we sometimes just, we don't understand or haven't figured out that God is expecting these things of us. What can we do? You know, I wrote it down this way. We believe that God can do anything, but does that mean He does everything? And sometimes I feel like we get in this place where, like, well, God, you're all we got. We're just going to wait around on you. And God's like, wait a minute. My word is very clear that I've given you a way out of this. You're to take these steps. This is what your part is. God, what are you asking me to do? And so as we're digging into Matthew 9, I want to just take you back in the background a little bit. And we're going to talk about these two blind men who hear that Jesus is coming to town. Jesus with his miracles and his amazing teaching and all the wonderful signs and wonders that are following around Jesus. Two blind men happen to hear that Jesus is coming to their town. This divine opportunity that presents itself right in front of them. And in that moment, they do what very few other people have been able to do. They recognize the Messiah. They recognize that Jesus is here, and they seize that opportunity, and God responds to their faith in a very unusual way. So I want to look at this and just pick it up in verse 27. And it says this, Matthew 9, 27. It says, two blind men following him being Jesus. And they began to call out to him, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. And that's important. I want to talk about that. The title that they place on Jesus, have mercy on us. Mercy is not getting what you deserve, Lord. We realize we deserve this probably with our sin. There might be a reason why we're blind, but Lord, have mercy on me. Don't give me what I deserve. Have mercy on me. And they say this, it says this, when he had gone indoors, so Jesus goes inside somebody's house, says the blind men came to him, and he asked them a very powerful question. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe I'm able to take care of your blindness? Do you believe I'm able to heal you? And I love their response. They simply say this, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We believe you're able to do this. It says, then he touched their eyes and said this. This is a very powerful scripture. I don't want you to miss this. According to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. According to your faith, they had seized a divine opportunity, and Jesus rewarded their step of faith by saying, hey, according to your faith, because your faith got you here, you're going to see the power of God come through. They seized this divine opportunity and God met them there. God rewarded that. There's a famous theologian by the name of Charles Spurgeon that says this: Jesus touched them with his hands, but they touched him with their faith. And I wonder how we can touch the heart of God with our faith when we step out and choose to seize these divine opportunities. You know, I think we recognize and we believe that there are divine opportunities. We're not really sure how to seize them because we live in an option-based culture. We like the options. When you're buying a new car, what are my options here? When you're buying a new home, give me my options. What else does it come with? What's the bells and the whistles? Give me my options. Let me make some decisions. And that's not really the way it works in the supernatural realm. That's not the way it works in God's kingdom. See, this is not a democracy. This is a theocracy. He's king. He's Lord. And it's his way or no way. We like the options. And here's the thing. God will often limit a lot of your options so that you will recognize divine opportunities.
That's right.
Sometimes options just run out. And think about this for two blind men. What options do they really have? What can they do for a job? This is not 2021. This is 2,000 years ago. There's not a lot of options for blind people. You know, if you get a diagnosis, you'll go to a doctor and ask, okay, you know, if I believe what you're telling me here, then what are my options? Is this something that we can cure with medicine? Is this something that's going to take surgery? Is this a chemotherapy? You know, is this rest and time off? What are you asking of me? What are my options? But God likes to give us opportunities. And there's a big difference between what we see in our culture and what God and his kingdom is telling us is better. We think having options is better because we like the freedom to choose. But God is saying, yeah, but if you choose me, I'm going to give you divine opportunities that will release your destiny and release the powerful things that you could never make happen on your own. We can position ourselves with our faith to receive the miraculous. One of the things I love about being a dog owner is that, number one, I feel like God blesses dog owners because they're just built with this love. A dog is the only creature on earth that literally loves you more than it loves itself. And cat people, they need to get saved. they need to get saved. But my dog every morning knows that this will happen. If she chooses to go to the laundry room and climb up in her little bed that I've set up for her there, because we put her in the laundry room. It's not like a big crate. It's a big room that she gets that has heating. But if she chooses that, when I leave for work in the morning, if she chooses to go into that laundry room and she waits there, if she's waiting for me when I get in there, she gets a treat. And over the years, she knows that if I position myself in this place, when my master passes by, there's something special for me. There's a divine opportunity. But once again, I don't force her to do it. It's not something I'm making her do. I just see if she has chosen that. And there are divine opportunities that God has positioned for us as his children. Like, hey, if you're here in the right time, if you're following after me, if you recognize what I'm doing, there's some things for you that you're going to be able to receive that you're not going to be able to get on your own. And these are the ways that I think God reveals things to us through his word that I wish somebody would have told me a long time ago. How do I seize those divine opportunities? You know, when you run out of human options, you always have divine opportunities. I've defined it this way. Divine opportunities are circumstances that are favorable for God to accomplish his divine purpose in your life. When the circumstances are favorable, to recognize the timing of the Lord. And so I want to talk about how to seize that divine opportunity, things that we can pull out of the story that help us to kind of relate to these blind men that are doing all they can to get to Jesus. And they recognize this and they receive their miracle by faith. And this is the important part. A lot of times when people don't receive the miracle that they want, when they don't get the thing that they need from God, if they don't see God come through in a miraculous way, we always go back to the foolish saying of, you didn't have enough faith. I want to make sure that you understand this. Faith does not guarantee a miracle. But without it, there's a guarantee of no miracle. So faith positions you to receive from the Lord. But ultimately, the healing is not really up to your faith. It's up to the power of God. But the power of God sometimes is only released when his people have faith. Yeah. And faith is much more than just believing that God can do it. And I want to show you how to seize the divine opportunities that God gives us by faith. More than just believing, something more. And we see this from the story of these two blind men waiting by the road as Jesus is passing by. And the first thing I want to share with you is this, the first of four things. And if you're a note taker, you might want to write these down because these will help you to recognize and to seize divine opportunities that God has for you. And you have to believe that God absolutely has divine opportunities for you.
Yeah. That's good.
And sometimes those are only there when you're out of options.
Yeah, that's good.
The first one is this: you have to have the faith to follow what you can't see. And here are two blind men that recognize something that they could never see with their natural eyes, but they had the faith to follow with what they did have. What did they have? They had the hearing. The Bible tells us in Romans 10 that faith comes by hearing. You don't have to see it, but you have to be able to hear it.
That's right.
Really good.
And more than just with your human ears, these two blind men follow along to the sound of the crowd, the sound of Jesus' voice. They followed the motion and the movement. And I love that they did it without being able to see. They could have rested back on their excuses. I can't see. Jesus is going to have to come to me. Well, you still got some other senses. And one is that the power of touch and the ability to hear, and you're going to be able to press through and grab people like, help me get to Jesus, whatever it takes. Faith is more than just believing in something. It's being able to hear it.
That's right.
And to follow the sound of where God is going. You know, I wonder what divine opportunities that we miss because we follow the wrong voices. What divine opportunities have we missed in our lives because we followed after the wrong things? But these two blind men followed the voice of Jesus. They followed the voice of people that were around Jesus listening, and ultimately they found a new destiny. You know, destiny follows decisions to follow. Jesus said to his disciples when he's calling them into ministry, he says, follow me and I'm going to make you fishers of men. He says, follow me and I'm going to give you a destiny beyond what you think. I'm going to give you something beyond what your spiritual eyes can see and what you're doing in the natural realm. I'm going to take this over to the spiritual realm and make you much, much a deeper and better person than you ever thought you could be by giving you a divine destiny. But it comes with an invitation. Here's your part. Follow me. Well, Lord, I can't see myself like that. I can't see myself becoming what you call me to become. He said, no, faith comes by hearing. Can you hear my voice? Yeah. Then follow me. And I'm going to make you into something that is far better than what you ever thought you could become on your own. Destiny follows our decisions to follow. You know, they listened and he taught them. He became their teacher. You know, when I was raised up, with my education was mostly homeschool and sometimes some Christian school kind of worked in there. And when I finally got to high school, I went to high school at a very large public high school. And this was one of those inner city high schools that you would not believe some of the things that were going on. And for me being a Christian kid, raised in a Christian home, surrounded by Christian friends in that homeschool and Christian school kind of education world, this was eye-opening for me, to say the least. And I thought foolishly that we were there to learn. I thought foolishly that we were there to be taught because I thought school is the place where you go to learn. That was not the case at my high school. School was the place where we went to get in fights. We went to start a new business, whether that was legal or not, and to wild out. You know, that was just what it was. It's not a place to learn. It's a place to go and do what you want to do. It's a place to go and have fun or to get in trouble. And I remember like my second or third week in high school, I was there on a Monday and, I remember thinking, man, I don't have any friends. I have nothing in common with these people. And I heard a couple of guys that were whispering around in a small circle as the teacher was teaching, and they were talking about sports. And I'm like, wow, this is Monday. I watched a bunch of football games yesterday, so maybe we can talk about sports. So I start listening into their conversation. I realized they weren't just talking about sports. They were settling up their bets from the games the day before. So they were gambling. I'd never in my life thought that teenagers could gamble on sports. Like, are you serious? Like that's for old men. Like who does this? And so I'm sitting here like I'm intrigued by this because these guys, instead of listening to what's being taught, they're busy running their own entrepreneurial kind of business here. And one guy says, well, you owe me $12 from yesterday. You bet $6 on this and it ended up being a $12 loss. And so you owe me $12. It's time for you to pay me. And the guy... I'm not kidding. He pays him in food stamps. He pulls out these old food stamps back in the day. Before they were debit cards, they used to be actual like bills. And he pays him off with $12 worth of food stamps. And I was sitting here shocked. I'm like, oh my gosh, I thought we were here to learn, but we're busy doing business over here. And you know, as I sit here and think about this story, I realize that in many opportunities, Christ is wanting to teach us, but we're busy doing the things that we think are our options. Not realizing that what's being taught to us through the power of God's word is something so much better. And ultimately, there's no destiny here with just gambling around with my food stamps. But the real hope for my life was in getting an education. And there's something better here than just making $12 and living on a government handout. That's a word that we could just stop right there and let somebody just simmer in that for a moment. But there's other ways to seize divine opportunities. I want to share with you this. Number two, in order to seize that, you have to have the faith to choose faith-filled friends. When these two guys, notice that there are two of them, pressed through together, holding on to each other, trying to get to the heart of Jesus. I love that they're trusting each other to get there. Another scripture talks about when four friends lowered a paralyzed man to Jesus through the roof. Like it's an important thing that we have to see. And Jesus says, according to your faith, it's going to be done to you, which is Texan, by the way. If he was Texan, he would say, according to y'all's faith. Yeah. And the original language says it's more than just you, one person. It's both of you. You both receive the healing. Why? Because you put your faith together and you combined it, and we found that it's more powerful. We're better together, and we forget the power of combined faith. We forget the power of combined prayer. And when you can choose some people that are full of faith, when you choose some people in your life that are not just friends that you can do crazy things like start a gambling business with your food stamps together, but when you choose people that are full of faith, when you choose people that love the Lord, when you choose people that want a healing, that want deliverance, that want a destiny just as much as you do, you got something powerful there. We forget that Jesus tells us, hey, where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm there with you also. He says, when two or more agree, he said, I'll listen to you. Right. And I wonder how many miracles that we've and divine opportunities that we've passed by because it was just us and we didn't have the faith to get there on our own. Sometimes it takes us having some other people to say, get there with me. Help me find Jesus in this place. This is why we love groups here. This is why we think it's important for you to connect to others because we're better together. We can stand in the gap for each other. Yeah. There's another scripture in James that tells us if you confess your faults one to another, you'll find healing. And that's a powerful thing because we want forgiveness for the things that we've found at fault in our own life. And if we want forgiveness, we can go to Jesus and find forgiveness. But if you want healing, it says you have to confess them to one another. There's a healing that only comes from the one another parts of scripture. And that one another, those two simple words appear over and over throughout the New Testament. One another, it matters how we relate to each other. And faith is more than just hearing and getting to Jesus, but sometimes it takes somebody hearing with you saying, do you hear him? Is he over here? Is he over here? Let's do this together because together we're stronger and we can find our way to Jesus. Having the faith to follow what you can't see and the faith to choose some faith-filled friends, I think it's also a pretty powerful word when we think about how important it is when husbands and wives agree. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our issues of not being able to seize the divine opportunities and those wonderful moments that God has miraculous things in store for our marriage are just lost because we're not walking in agreement. That's right. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Mm-hmm. And we might say, yeah, I love that scripture and never apply it to our own marriages. But there's power when you have a husband and a wife in agreement together. We're going to seek the face of God together. When was the last time that you prayed together as a couple? Because I'm just going to speak to the husbands for just a moment. If you're not leading your family, if you're not praying with your wife, if you're not bringing in the power of God, if you're not seizing those divine opportunities, brother, you're missing out. And I'll call you a coward to your face because the enemy wants to make you believe that you are out of options. But that is a divine opportunity for you to lead your family and become what you never dreamed your family could become. I'm here as a living testament to the power of God in my family. Do not be a coward. Lead spiritually. Your family, the best thing you can give your family is not just more money. It's not more toys. It's not even more time spent with you. Although that would be a good thing for a lot of us. It's the power of God. That's right. That's the power of God. Yeah. And that comes through you. Mm-hmm. So take the initiative. Seize the divine opportunity. The circumstances are right for a powerful move of God for you and for your family. But sometimes it takes us walking in agreement together as husband and wife. And that starts with the husband leading his family into the presence of God. You take the initiative. Amen. Yeah. That's good. Here's the third thing I want to make sure that we see through this story is they had the faith to do more than just wish and beg. And a lot of times people will say, well, I had faith and I prayed about it. And I'm not here to knock prayer at all. I believe that prayer is a powerful thing. But at some point, we have to realize that they, you know, their options were limited as blind men. What are they going to do? They can either wish for a healing, or they can beg for a living, or they can seize a divine opportunity. There's a third opportunity here besides just their options. And more than just wishing, more than just begging, more than just prayer, they took a step.
That's good.
They took a step. And I think many of God's people are missing out on divine opportunities because they've prayed about it, but never been obedient to what God is asking them to do.
Yeah.
You know, these two blind men are calling out, Jesus, Son of David. That's begging. That's also prayer. They're speaking to Jesus. They're saying, have mercy on us. Have mercy. That's a prayer. But they do more than just pray about it. They get up and press through.
That's right.
Press through. They get up and start taking a faith step. Did they wish? Sure. Did they beg? Absolutely. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Don't give us what we deserve. But belief took a step. Belief found a friend. Belief grabbed their hand and belief said, hey, let's do more than just sit here by the side of the road begging for money or hoping that he stops. Let's press through. Let's invade some stranger's house. Let's press through the other people and get in the presence of Jesus. Why? Because that's a divine opportunity there. And even if he doesn't heal us, at least we're doing more than just sitting by the road and begging for mercy. Let's get up and go to the presence of Jesus. Let's get up and do this together. You know, faith moves. Faith moves. And James is clear in James chapter 2. He says, faith without works is dead. It's dead. He says, I'll show you my faith by my works. I'm willing to do whatever the Lord is telling me to do it. I believe it. I hear it. I see it. And then I'm willing to do it. Faith moves. You know, they get into the presence of Jesus and they do something that you don't find a lot in Scripture. But they submit to his lordship. I want to finish out with that fourth point today. How to seize a divine opportunity, you have to have the faith to submit. We don't like that word submission in the English language. No, I won't say the English language. I'll say we don't like it in the American culture because we don't submit to nobody. We're back-to-back World War champs, baby. Get some. Greatest country on the planet, on the face of the earth. We're the greatest. I get that. I get it. I'm proud of my country too. I get it. But what about submission to his lordship? What about that? Because I think this is the key of why a lot of people miss out on divine opportunities from God. Because they don't have the faith to take a step. They don't have the faith to submit your will.
Yeah.
See, what if God doesn't do what you think he should do? Can you still submit? What about the miracle that you don't get? What about the miracle that you don't see? Can you still say, you're still my Lord and I trust you, even when I don't get it? That's submission. You know, they call Jesus, they call him the Son of David as they're begging out, screaming from the side of the road, Son of David, which is a declaring of him being the Messiah. This is the first time that it appears in the gospel, by the way, the first time people are calling him the Messiah. And that's why Jesus goes indoors, because he's like, hey, I ain't ready for that to be told yet. But you guys have seen something, even though you're blind. Even though you're blind. They make a declaration of him being the Messiah. He walks, he sees that they're walking to him, and then he makes this statement, do you believe I'm able to do this? And they say, yes, Lord, Lord. The Greek word there is Kyrie, which means the supreme authority over everything in my life. Lord. You know, in John 13:13, Jesus says, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. The two words there between teacher and Lord are didaskalos, which means I'm the one who's teaching you. That's the Hebrew equivalent for the word rabbi. And then the Lord word is the word Kyrie, which means the supreme authority over all things. He says, you call me teacher and you call me Lord. It's rightly so, for that's what I am. Am I a teacher? Sure. Am I Lord? There's a big difference between teacher and Lord. It's just as different as the head and the heart. You know, the Bible tells us that when Judas, in Matthew 26, when he was betraying Jesus with a kiss, he comes up to him with the soldiers and he says, greetings, Rabbi, didaskalos, teacher. Greetings, Rabbi. And then he kissed him. You know, I think for Jesus' disciples, for people like Judas, he was teacher. But for others, he was Lord. See, a teacher will give you your options. You can receive some things from them, but ultimately you have to make the decision of what you want to do. A Lord, that's different. That means he's in control. He's the supreme authority over all that I am, over all I'll become, over all the things that he has in store for my life. There's a huge difference between him being my teacher and my Lord. There's a big difference between us looking at this Bible and saying there are some things that it can teach me. That's a wonderful thing. But when the Word of God becomes more than just your teacher, it becomes God's mandate for your life, it takes on a whole new meaning. This doesn't just give me insights for my life. It gives me direction because it has authority over me. These two men say, Jesus, you're the Messiah and you're Lord. And Jesus says, according to your faith, what you've just seen, even though you were blind, You get the miraculous because you've recognized the Lordship. You know, for some people, God's their Savior, but He's not their Lord. Mm-hmm. He saved me from my sins. He's forgiven me. He's given me heaven, but He's never really become my Lord. You know, if He's not Lord of all, He's really not Lord at all. Yeah. And He wants to be something more than just a healer. He wants to be something more than just a teacher. He wants to be your Lord. So I wonder what divine opportunities we're missing out on because He's not Lord of all. And for some of us, that may be your finances. God's never been the Lord of your finances. You've never taken His challenge by giving and honoring Him with the first of what you make. And I'm not here asking for your money. I don't need your money. But I would love to see your life and what you could look like, what the possibilities are if you were to seize the divine opportunities in front of you. Every 2 weeks when you get your paycheck, there's a divine opportunity there for Him to be the Lord of your money. What about being the Lord of your marriage? What if God's word held authority over your marriage and you let how you stay married be based upon this instead of what you think or what your parents taught you? Yeah. What if your marriage became a godly marriage because He's Lord of all? For some of us, it's time for you to join a church. It's time for you to get back up off the couch. It's time for you to put the mask on and go to a church in your neighborhood. Churches are opening back up all over the place and there's no more excuses. It's time to get back. Yeah. He's Lord of all. And the Lord is speaking to us through His word, saying you're not to forsake the gathering together of the saints. You need to gather. For others of us, it's time that you serve. It's time that you lay down your schedule and what you're too busy to do and start giving something back. Say, Lord, You're the Lord of my life. And Your word tells me that I'm to serve. As a matter of fact, Jesus, it says Himself, when He says, you call me teacher and Lord, what He's doing in that moment is He's putting on a bathrobe and He's washing the disciples' feet. Love serves. Love gives. And it's more than just believing. It's actually taking a step of faith to lay down your will, to lay down your schedule, to lay down your time, to lay down your ego, to humble yourself, to submit to His Lordship, and to allow Him to become your King, not just to give you some more options. You know, faith isn't just believing. Sometimes it's as simple as just saying, yes, Lord, yes. I wonder if Jesus was standing in front of you today saying, do you believe I can do this in your life? Do you believe I can do a better job with your finances than you can? Would you say, yes, Lord? Would you submit? Would you say, do you believe I can do something through your life if you were to start serving my purposes and not just your own? You know, the point of your life is not to just die with more toys, not to just die debt-free. That's not a life, that's an existence. There's a purpose for you. There's a destiny for you. And destiny follows the decisions that you make. Good. Are you gonna keep looking at your options? I wrote it down this way. Are you still exploring your options or are you willing to seize divine opportunity? Because that's ultimately the question I wanna leave you with. At some point, it's up to you to recognize that there's a divine opportunity here today to make Jesus more than just a teacher, to make this more than just a message that you watched, but to seize a divine opportunity and to allow it to become something more. Yeah. Choice is yours. Let me finish up today by asking you, is He the Lord of your life? Have you ever made Him Lord of your life? And if you don't know, if there's not a specific moment that comes to you where you know for sure that I asked Jesus to come into my heart, to take over, to be my boss, my master, my Lord, my Savior. If you don't have that moment, I wanna help you do that. Just like somebody helped me one time. You know, the titles are important. They define relationships. Yeah. And if Jesus is just a good man, but He's not the Lord of your life, and you've defined that relationship in something that you're not gonna be happy with, He's not just a good man. He's God. Yeah. And He's your Father. And He loves you and cares for you. If you've never asked Him to come into your heart, let me help you. Pray a prayer with me. And the prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe that You're the Son of God. I believe You're the Messiah. I believe that You came and died, but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my sins. I ask You to come into my heart, to be my boss, my Savior, and my Lord. I give myself to You right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you just pray that prayer with me, maybe for the first time, I am so proud of you. Would you do me a huge favor? I would be so honored if you would text me. The number is 94090. Text the words "I prayed" to 94090. It just thrills my heart every week when I see someone from someone I don't even know who they are, but they watch this video or someone shared this video with them and they ask Christ to be their Lord. It blesses me. It lets me know that what we're doing is making a difference. That'd be a huge blessing to me if you wouldn't mind doing that. For those of you that are willing to share this message with your friends so that the gospel can go out, so that people can make Jesus their Lord, thank you so much for clicking that share button. It's such a huge honor every time that you do that. Thank you for doing that. God bless you. I hope that you got something out of this today. I hope that it encourages you. I hope that it helps you. And I believe that God has great things in store for you as you continue to make him the Lord of your life and seize every divine opportunity that he has in store for you. God bless you. Have an amazing week.